China obviously loomed large over Scott Morrison's meeting with Joe Biden and Boris Johnson on the sidelines of the G7 summit, with the leaders discussing deeper military cooperation in the Indo-Pacific. And with the government's recent warning that military conflict over Taiwan can't be discounted, the Prime Minister is expected to use talks this week with the French President, Emmanuel Macron, to try and steer the $90 billion future submarines program back on track. As a fallback, the government will spend up to $10 billion completely rebuilding the Navy's existing Collins-class fleet to hedge against any capability gap, just as China is extending its presence throughout the region. Independent Senator Rex Patrick is a former submariner and a keen observer of the subs program. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
Reading all of the detail of this submarine scenario, it sounds like a right mess, is it?
There's no question that this is a mess. Plan A, which is the attack-class submarine, is a mess. We shouldn't actually be thinking about a Plan B at this point in time. We should actually be switching to a Plan B.
So just explain where we're at with this, because we're paying France's Naval Group $90 billion to build 12 attack-class submarines. What's gone wrong there?
Okay, in 2009, we decided that we needed new submarines, and that was a clearly sensible decision. The submarine was to be delivered by 2026, such that there wouldn't be a gap because Collins has to retire or was due to retire in 2026. So that would have given us a continuous capability rolling from the Collins to the future submarine program. What happened was the government just spun around in circles. We ended up in 2016 entering into a highly risky $50 billion solution to be rolled out in 2035. That program has gone from $50 billion to $89 billion, and now we've seen the cost of extending the life of Collins to bridge that gap go up another from $6 billion to $10 billion. So this is a situation that is completely out of control in circumstances where the geopolitical tensions are rising, as you suggested in your opening.
But you're suggesting that we move to a Plan B immediately, given that we've already spent an extraordinary amount of money on this and there would presumably be an exit fee to terminate the deal with the French. Why take that radical step?
Well, we're in a situation where if we had a 10% blowout, and that would be quite a controlled situation compared to a lot of defence programs, but if we had a 10% blowout in 2035, that's $10 billion. That's an unaffordable cost. We have a program with that is too expensive, it's too risky, it's not on schedule, it's unlikely to deliver us a regionally superior submarine, and in actual fact, it's not achieving its goal of helping us to build a sovereign naval shipbuilding capability. So there's all sorts of things that are going wrong here. The relationship between Naval Group and the Australian Department of Defence is estranged. It's just a complete mess.
Yeah. How much would it cost us to get out of it?
Well, the rumour is, and it is just a rumour, is somewhere between about $150 million and $400 million. But that may well be worth the price. We need to re-examine exactly what's happening here, go for a much less risky solution, something that delivers us a known capability, and we need to do that now.
So what are we talking about there? German submarines, the Saab Kokums perhaps? What's the best option for Australia as a Plan B?
Well, there are a couple of options that are well understood by defence, actually. One of them is the Japanese option. We know that the Japanese build pretty good submarines. We could switch across to a build here in Adelaide of the Japanese submarines, keeping them basically the same as what the Japanese Navy have. Another option would be to go with the Germans. They build very, very good submarines. I've spent a number of months on some of their latest submarines, both doing trials with the Greek and with the South Korean Navy's superb submarines, much, much less expensive. And look, they'll do 90% of everything that the Royal Australian Navy wants to have done. It's, you know, defence continually buys risky, risky programs. All of the successful programs that we see in the Department of Defence are those where we when we buy into something that is off the shelf, things like the Abrams tank, things like our 60 Romeo naval helicopters, all of those programs go well because we go and kick the tires on something that works, and then we purchase that, and then we get on and use that capability. And that's exactly what we should be doing now.
How much have we, Australia, complicated this arrangement as far as the French submarines are concerned by insisting on things being built, maintained, certain percentages of the spend over time being here in Australia?
Well, it's clear that you can build things here in Australia, and I actually support that occurring. In the case of, say, the Greek Type 214 submarines from Germany, they were built in Scaramanga in Greece. The South Korean 214 class submarines were built in South Korea. So, when you build something in a different country, it does add a little bit of risk, but it's quite manageable, and the benefit that flows from that is significant. We also want to make sure that we maximise the amount of Australian industry content. We don't do that blindly. We want to make sure that we bring technology across and we do as much activity here as we possibly can. I like the idea, and this is what we did with the Oberon-class submarines, is you bring in an off-the-shelf submarine and you do, for all the Holden fans out there, you HSV it. You make it special, but you have a solid baseline that you're working from, and then you use Australian industry to make it a better submarine than the same versions that are being sold overseas.
So the government in the interim is going to spend $10 billion gutting and refitting the six Collins-class submarines to extend their lives for another decade. They were due to retire in 2026. They'll be approaching 40 years old. Without any further problems to whatever we do next, Australia will only have six submarines well into the 2040s by the sounds of things. China, by contrast, already has an estimated 60 to 70 subs in the Indo-Pacific. How vulnerable are we?
Well, we'll become particularly vulnerable if the Collins-class life of type extension does not succeed. And one of the comparative options, of course, is simply to go straight to an off-the-shelf capability. For the $10 billion we're spending on the Collins class to extend their life, which involves a number of different risks. For example, the insertion of a brand new main motor that hasn't been used in any other submarine before, we could buy 10 off-the-shelf German or Japanese submarines built here in Australia that are modern, highly capable and relatively risk-free.
Australian frigates will take part in naval exercises in the Indo-Pacific alongside a British carrier strike group. That's something that's emerged from Scott Morrison's trip to the G7. We're obviously reliant on our allies strategically in this region. Do you think our military strength and assets match our rhetoric?
Oh, look, I think we need to always focus on the first goal of our defence force, and that is defence of Australia. And then what we do is we then expand the ring out to look after the South Pacific through to Asia and then perhaps global security. And there's nothing wrong with taking the capability that you use for defence of Australia and utilising that in operations in, for example, the South China Sea. And I absolutely support the idea that our forces go and participate as part of a multilateral arrangement, doing things like freedom of navigation through the South China Sea, asserting international law, and that's something that is not a distraction from defence, and it certainly is within the capability of the ADF. But always we need to be focusing on making sure that we can defend Australia alone if necessary.
Very briefly, we've been talking about the Bilawila family this morning. Given the public outcry over this, including among coalition backbenchers, do you think the government has any other option but to allow them to settle in Australia now?
Look, this is not a case of a family that should be brought home now. They should never have been sent. And you've got to ask the question, what's been achieved by locking up these two beautiful Australian girls and their parents? The answer is absolutely nothing. It is time for the government to act.
Rex Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you.